Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There seems to be a poetic justice in observing St. Matthias Day during finals week. Chapel attendance tends to peter out a bit. It seems as though our minds and our attention are fixed elsewhere. We have other things on our collective minds, either taking exams or writing papers or grading them. A truly penitential exercise, even in this last day of Mardi Gras. So it's fitting, then, that this particular week, this liturgical feast, falls on a time which almost seems to be insignificant. The fact that his liturgical feast is so widely ignored seems to fit quite well with what we know of Matthias, which is precious little. I guess you could call him the patron saint of the little guy. And so, if you've ever felt intimidated or out of your league in ecclesiastical circles, then Matthias is your man. You know the story, how after the defection of Judas, the apostles arranged an appointment to fill the vacancy. The qualifications were simple enough. The candidates had to have been amongst the disciples since the time of the Lord's baptism until his ascension. Two men were nominated. First, there was Joseph, called Barsabbas, son of the oath. Has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? Seems like he must be qualified. He had another name, Justus. Certainly anyone with the name Just will go far in the church. And then there was our man, Matthias. I don't know about you, but if I were a betting man, I'd have put my money on Joseph. In an election year, we all know that making a name for yourself is half the game when it comes to winning an election. And so it seems as though Joseph would have it all over Matthias, not only in nomenclature, but also in pedigree, if we are to believe certain reliable ancient witnesses that consider him to be among the half-brothers of Jesus, one of the sons of Joseph and Mary. Yes, even allowing for hanging chads, I don't think the vote would have been very close. But as you know, it didn't come down to a vote. Instead, there was a holy drawing, and the lot fell, surprise of surprises, upon Matthias. And so he, the little guy, was enrolled among the apostles. The office that was conferred upon him that day, one is almost tempted to say, foisted upon him, led him, if we are to believe the reliable ancient witnesses, to mission in some of the more exotic regions of the Roman Empire of the day, to a narrow escape from the hands of cannibals, and ultimately to a gruesome martyr's death. Yes, for a man who entered the race as a dark horse candidate, he turned out to be quite a guy. Not merely apostle and evangelist, but martyr to boot. These red letter days in the church year calendar have a way of putting us all in our place, we latter-day witnesses to the Lord Jesus, who so bravely present ourselves to the Lord and to his church. Here am I, send me. Send me. You never know what those words might lead to, you know. We don't know what we're getting ourselves into. We don't know what lies ahead. Thank God he doesn't call all of us who we're preparing to be ministers in his church to martyrdom in his church. But given devil, world, and flesh, we can all expect some very tough sledding in days ahead, if you haven't already run into it here at seminary. Yes, the life of everyone baptized into Christ is indeed marked with a cross. We collectively set out on what we think will be days of high adventure, and what they turn out to be is ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown. And yet we do know whose hand is leading us and whose love is supporting us every step of the way. His name is Jesus the Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from among the dead, the one who once was stricken and smitten and afflicted for us and for our salvation, the one who because of our sins was laid low in death upon his cross, the victim of all of our sins. But all that is over now. Now he lives and reigns in triumph, the firstborn from among the dead. He once was dead, but now he is alive forevermore. He remains forever the way and the truth and the life. For the life of Jesus is always given by means of death. And his way is always the way of the cross. There is therefore room for a considerable amount of humility among those who serve as pastors in the church or those who are would-be pastors. The path upon which we set out on does not always lead to the fate of Matthias, but it does most certainly lead to a sure and certain death. For Matthias and we and all the saints do have one thing in common. We all share in the death of Jesus. For by holy baptism we have been plunged into that death of his and raised up with him to live in his new life, which has no end. So that means, among other things, that humility and contrition mark the lives of all the saints, not just this man, Matthias. This infernal, sinful flesh of ours must daily be drowned and die, together with all sins and evil desires, so that a new man may emerge and arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. Now, mind you, that righteousness and that purity is not of our own doing. It's no accomplishment of our own. It's no feather in our cap. It's all a gift from first to last. We remain, all of us who serve in Christ's church, only flawed and lowly earthen vessels who bear on our lips and in our hands the high and holy gifts of heaven for God's earthly people, for the lambs and sheep who were redeemed by Jesus' blood. And so the ministry is not accomplishment, but gift. It is not an accident, then, that the church in her collect for this day doesn't even mention Matthias, but prays instead for protection against all false teachers, those Judases in every age who betray Christ by leading his holy bride astray. In other words, the church this day prays to her gracious Lord for you and me, that his ministers might remain ever faithful, that they may be marked always by a humble and contrite spirit, that they may ever tremble at his word. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.